Chapter 11, 8:20 a.m. Dr. Krupp had put Chase in all of Nicole's classes except P.E., starting with Mrs. Sprague's homeroom. For as much work as they were doing in homeroom, Chase thought they might as well have canceled school. A third of the desks were empty. The television mounted to the ceiling was turned to the weather channel. At 8:45 a.m., Emily started to move. While everyone stared up at the screen to watch the white whirl of destruction headed their way, Chase looked out the window. This was what people did in the old days before satellite imagery and Doppler radar. When they'd arrived at Palm Breeze Middle School an hour earlier, the sky had been clear, with no wind. Now it was flat gray. Dead palm fronds were tumbling across the soccer field out back. Chase began to get a strange feeling about Emily and wondered if this was what his dad experienced when he made his predictions, or what a lightning rod felt just before a strike. A tingling sensation. A spark of premonition. Last night, Emily was upgraded to a Category 4 hurricane with sustained winds of up to 155 miles per hour. There is a chance she'll become a Category 5, but what's even more disturbing is the speed at which she's traveling. Although hurricane winds can exceed 100 miles an hour, the storm itself usually travels about 15 miles an hour. This is one of the reasons hurricanes cause so much damage when they hit land. Instead of moving through quickly, they linger, giving the high winds time to cause severe damage. Emily is currently barreling toward the west coast of Florida at 35 miles per hour. We have accurate tracking records going back decades, and this speed is simply unheard of. On her current track and speed, she will be making landfall near the Tampa-St. Pete area around 11:11 this evening, about 40 miles south of Palm Breeze Middle School, just like Dad predicted. Chase continued to stare out the window. He still had that tingling feeling, and it contradicted what he was hearing from the television and what he was seeing out the window. Although the wind wasn't even close to hurricane strength, he had a weird feeling that Mama Rossi was closer to the mark than his dad or any of the experts. Mrs. Sprague switched the TV to a local station, and a familiar face appeared on the screen. It was the anchor they had watched during dinner the night before. Chase realized why the photos of Dr. Krupp's husband looked familiar. He turned to Nicole and whispered, "Is that?" "Yeah, that's Dr. Krupp's husband. All the teachers really like him. He comes to talk to us every year." She leaned closer. "I think he's a little strange. He wears more makeup than Dr. Krupp, even when he's talking to us." Chase doubted that the morning news was Richard Krupp's regular beat. He was the primetime anchor. Chase and his father always got a big kick out of watching television reporters during disasters. They'd say they'd hoped the storm would pass them, but the truth was that they wanted to be right in the middle of it, with their Gore-Tex gear, leaning into the wind, dodging debris, telling everyone how dangerous it was. If the reporters were unlucky and the storm hit elsewhere, they'd insert themselves into the story by jumping into their satellite vans and driving there, as if the town where the disaster struck actually needed more reporters. Richard Krupp wasn't in his Gore-Tex yet, but Chase was certain he would be before long. His hair was a little disheveled, and it looked as if he hadn't shaved since the night before. He was wearing jeans and hiking boots, the sleeves to his sky blue dress shirt rolled up to just below the elbow. Emily loomed behind him in high definition, like a circular saw looking for someone to cut into. Richard Krupp was unafraid. He stared into the camera, trying to look concerned, but his shining blue eyes gave him away. He was excited. "Looks like we're in for a rough night, but the important thing to remember is not to panic. At this point, state police and local law enforcement are not calling for mandatory evacuation, but they are suggesting that if you have somewhere to stay outside of Emily's projected track, you should proceed there after securing your property. The news team and I will, of course, be here for the duration. Of course. Chase looked at his new classmates. They were all glued to the screen, hanging on Richard Krupp's every word. Let's go to our meteorologist, Cindy Stewart, in downtown St. Pete, and see what the mood is there. Cindy? As you can see, Richard, a few clouds have moved in, and the wind has picked up slightly. But honestly, if we weren't looking at the satellite images behind you, we wouldn't know that a hurricane was headed this way. Richard Krupp looked irritated. But there is a hurricane coming, Cindy. A big one. There's no doubt about that, Richard. But due to Emily's erratic behavior, we're still unclear about where she'll make landfall. Because of the speed she's traveling, even a slight deviation from the path she's on could put her hundreds of miles away from St. Pete. But not away from Florida. That's right, Richard. She's going to hit Florida. Richard gave her a triumphant look. Cindy rolled her eyes slightly, but continued to smile. Chase was beginning to really like her. He would love to see these two in the news station lunchroom. He suspected their relationship was a lot worse off camera. So, is there anyone downtown making preparations for the storm, Cindy? Yes, there's a lot of activity down here. As you attempted to say earlier, it doesn't hurt to be cautious. The camera zoomed out and Chase's jaw dropped open at what he saw on the television screen. MD Emergency Services. The camera zoomed back a little more, revealing John Masters leaning against his 4x4. Nicole turned to Chase and said loudly, "Isn't that your father's truck?" "Yeah," Chase said, "and that's him leaning against it." The whole class stared at him. "Your dad's hot," a girl said. "What's that hanging around his neck?" someone else yelled. If Chase could have climbed out the window without anyone noticing, he would have. "It's a cell phone," Chase answered. "That's kind of geeky. He's still hot." Chase had never thought of his dad as hot, but he had to admit that, except for the cell phone around his neck, his dad did look pretty good. He was wearing faded jeans, scuffed work boots, and a sleeveless t-shirt that showed off his tan and well-defined biceps and forearms. Strapped around his narrow waist was his favorite tool belt. Mrs. Sprague turned up the volume. "Settle down, everyone. Let's hear what Chase's father has to say." Chase wasn't sure what to expect, but his father looked perfectly at ease in front of the camera, as if he'd been on TV every day of his life. He hadn't even been on the local news after the lightning strike. Dozens of shows had called asking him to appear, but he had turned them all down. Chase had thought at the time that his father was camera shy. He was obviously wrong. "I'm standing next to John Masters, owner of MD Emergency Services. What are you doing down here, John?" "Helping out, making sure the damage will be minimal if Emily hits here." "And what makes you think Emily is going to hit St. Pete?" "She may not, but she is headed this direction, and this is where I happen to be." "And why do you happen to be in St. Pete?" "I've never been here before. Always wanted to come. Bad timing, I guess." "Bad try, Dad," Chase thought. "Show us what you've been doing." Chase's father walked Cindy through taping and boarding up windows, securing or removing anything that might get caught by the wind, moving valuables to the upper floors. "In case of storm surge?" "That's right, Cindy. Just like we saw in Hurricane Katrina. If your house or building is standing after the wind, flooding is the next problem. Water damage can be worse than wind damage. Much worse. And with all the oil floating around the Gulf from the BP spill, there could be a real mess here on shore." The interview was interrupted by the voice of Mrs. O'Leary over the intercom. She called about 20 students down to the office, saying their parents were waiting to pick them up. 4 kids from Mrs. Sprague's class. By the time they gathered their things and left, Richard Krupp was back on the screen trying to look worried but brave.